Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International.
And we hope you brought a paper and pencil along because we remember about 10% of what we hear. That means we forget 90%. So by taking notes and writing things down that impress your heart, you can develop your marriage into a heart-to-heart relationship.
Well, last time we were together, we were talking about developing respect. Today, we're going to talk about cultivating restraint. They go hand in hand, don't they, honey?
They do. They accent each other.
So I wonder how the people did last time with their homework, their challenge. We had a little homework of our own, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Cultivating that kindness. And do you want to tell them what you did for me last night while you were cultivating kindness?
I gave you a nice head massage.
Oh, it was wonderful. Husbands, you need to get a really great head massage. It's wonderful to relax you, especially after you've had a busy day at the office. Get a nice head massage. That was cultivating kindness. That's what my wife was doing for me.
Developing respect, right?
That's right.
And today we want to talk about cultivating restraint. And that's something that goes hand in hand. You can't really separate them because if I'm developing respect for you, then I'm also learning how to be restrained in myself. I remember a long time ago, even before we were married, we had one of those conversations, you know, where we talk about everything. Well, this one particular night, we were talking about when we were married, would we have pets? And if we would, what kind we would have? Do you remember that conversation?
Well, I remember you sharing this conversation with me.
Well, we both grew up in different settings. I grew up in suburbia, and you grew up on the farm. And so my vote for an animal, for a pet, was to have a cat, and your vote was a dog. And in my home, the cat was a house cat. It was in the house and out of the house. And in your home, the cat was in the barn.
Very efficient cats.
Yes. You called them mousers, right? And I didn't think that was too impressive. But anyway, obviously, we didn't agree at that time. This is what I remember. Clear back in our engagement time. And so as time went on and we came to the solution that we would have a pet when we had children. And if we had a girl, we would have a cat. And if we had a boy, we would get a dog. It was kind of one of those gender things, you know. So I remember when we first had our first child, Allison. We named her. And I reminded you of this conversation.
Oh, yes, you did.
I said, honey, we've got a girl. We can get a cat.
And how did I respond to that? Do you remember?
You had no recollection of the conversation at all.
In fact, I figured that because you loved cats so much that you probably dreamed about this conversation, because I don't remember it ever happening.
And I remembered it very clearly. And that's where we get in conflict in a marriage, when one person remembers a conversation and it's clear to them, and of course they don't believe they made it up, and the other person doesn't have any idea of the conversation ever taking place. There we have the recipe for conflict. So how do we deal with these kind of situations? Well, we found a solution, and that was just not to get any pet at that time. Then when we had our second child, we named her Emily. And I reminded you again of this pre-marriage conversation, and you still didn't remember it.
I'm starting to remember it better now that I've heard this a few times.
Because I reminded you so much of it, right?
That's right.
But we had a choice to make. Do we get upset? Do we lose respect? Do we lose our personal restraint because I have to be right? Or are we willing to look for another alternative? Well, we did have a third child.
And his name was Josiah. And we didn't get a dog.
We didn't get a dog.
And I didn't try to remind you about that conversation, right?
That's right, you didn't. But it's interesting that through the years, this little topic has come up in our marriage from time to time. And we needed to learn through this experience how to develop restraint, how to cultivate that restraint. And even as a mother with the children when they were young, I can remember going to the store and you'd see these cardboard boxes out front, you know. Of course, I knew what they were in there, right? Kittens, of course, and you know they're free. And I would take the children up and they go, "Oh, Mommy, Mommy, can we get one of these?" And I would say, "No, not today. It's not going to be good for us to take a kitty home today." And I never said, "I want a cat. It's your father. You got to convince your dad that he needs to get you a cat." Mm. That is undermining you and your desires and wishes in the home. And so it was interesting, the first time our children ever learned, and they were all teenagers, that I wanted a cat and you didn't want a cat in the home, was when they heard us talking about respect and restraint.
Yes.
Because many wives get what they want, they use the children as a cover up for their personal desires.
That's right.
And daddy comes home from work and the children meet him at the door. "Daddy, look what we got today."
And where's mother hiding?
Well, she's usually vacated to the kitchen or in the back bedroom or out the back door. She doesn't want to face him because she knows she hasn't really respected his leadership, his authority, his desires. Mm. And she hasn't been willing to be restrained herself. And so the children get brought in and they become a tool that begins to divide the mm-hmm. home.
Well, I appreciated the way you handled that. I didn't even know some of this was going on with these little boxes of kitties and when the children learned to read and said, "Oh, they're free, these are free, can we get these?" But I appreciated the restraint that you were developing there in wanting to honor me as a husband. And I think we both agree that it was better that we didn't have pets with the kind of schedule we had at that time.
That's right.
So let's talk about the definition for restraint. Because one of the blessings that we've learned, there's many words that we use in our vocabulary, and many times we don't have the understanding. What we've done in our marriage is we've gone back and we've looked at some of these key terms, like this one today, restraint. Let's talk about that.
And let's define the word in the first person. This is always beneficial, not
That's right.
somebody else out there. Okay, it means that if I restrain myself, I will hold back or hinder any action, any word, any passion that's going to be harmful to you or to any other. Mm. I'm going to be able to be restrained. Now, I can't do that in myself. I've tried that. Have you ever tried to restrain a passionate word, a word of irritation?
Bite the tongue?
We can try to bite the tongue, or we can bite our tongue, but we can't change our countenance.
Yeah, we really can't. If it's not in our hearts, we can force ourselves not to say something or bite the tongue, but if it's not in our hearts, if we're not really surrendered, then we're not going to be able to control the countenance.
That's right. That's why we have to ask God to change us from within. And there have been many times He has done that. I mean, I can feel this certain irritation. And when I recognize the feelings, and I know each one of you out there know what I'm talking about, there's a physical manifestation, a physical feeling that you feel starting to come up inside of you. And that is an unrestrained me, an unrestrained self. And when those feelings come, the physical manifestation, that's a call that God wants to change what's happening inside. That we can respond to the outward circumstances, we can respond to the conversation in a different way. We can be restrained. God can give us something better to speak that will change the direction of our communication, change the direction of the outcome, and keep the home a happier place and our marriage heart to heart.
That's right. And we can look at this restraint in terms of 1 Corinthians 13.
Absolutely.
Because it says there that we should not be easily provoked. Well, our humanity is easily provoked. Our natural response is provocation when self is crossed. But if we're allowing ourselves to be in Christ, to be surrendered to Him, then we don't have to be provoked by the things that create misunderstandings. And it says there, in defining restraint, that it does not behave itself in an unseemly way. We don't have to flare up in our irritation. That can be restrained and governed by Christ. I think the problem, and I know for us, and the problem with many of you is we cannot do this in ourselves. We cannot restrain ourselves. That's why we try to bite our tongues or grit our teeth. We try hard, but we need Jesus Christ to restrain us, to put a watch on our mouth. And it's only as we're willing to surrender to Him that that will take place for our marriage.
That's right. So restraint, companions, respect. And the more my respect grows for you, the more willing I am to be restrained of the Lord. Not just our passions, but even sometimes my wants or my desires or my, you know, these things be restrained in order to make a harmonious marriage. And that's what we really want God to do in our lives. And that's what we saw our great need in this area, because we were failing because we didn't have respect and restraint.
That's right. We loved each other. And I believe this is what a lot of you are facing, that you really love each other. You have a basis of love in your marriage, but you haven't learned the importance of true respect and restraint in the marriage. And God wants to give us that.
He does, and it's in the little things of every day.
Yes.
It's in the little things that He calls to us to restrain myself, to restrain even the thoughts that I have, to not think those thoughts, to restrain what I want to do at the moment that can be just off the cuff. You know, I'll go do this, and lose my focus for the day. We need to develop that restraint in Him. And in the little things of every day is where we practice it, because it's amazing how many little eruptions a couple can experience through a day in minor issues.
That's right.
And when we find Christ as the key and we recognize our great need, then we don't have those little eruptions anymore.
That's right. Well, we want to talk about the two areas that we discussed last time we were together, about how we develop respect, and this goes hand in hand with it, and how we cultivate restraint. So let's talk about the first one, cultivating the spirit of kindness. That's very important. And Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind one to another." And last time we were together, we were talking about how important it is that it's not just kindness to everybody else out there, but how are we developing and cultivating that kindness here. So we're going to share with you a couple of simple illustrations about how we have been cultivating this restraint in our own marriage.
Cultivating the restraint through the tool of kindness in the home.
That's right.
Yes. Well, you probably remember not that long ago, I came down to your desk one day that's in our bedroom where your office is. Your office is there just on the other side of our bed there. And I said to you, "Honey, what would you like for dinner today?" And it was in my heart. I wanted to do something special for you. But what you didn't know is that just before I came down the stairs to your office, I had realized that we need to be eating in 30 minutes. And I had given it no thought. And so I thought, well, I'll just come down and ask you what you wanted.
Well, that was kind of you.
Yeah, I was thinking about you because I needed ideas. Now, here's the interesting thing. Do you remember what happened that day? Because often I've asked you what you want, and you usually say, oh, I don't care, whatever you want to fix.
Well, as I remember, you didn't really give me the opportunity to tell you what I wanted.
No, you didn't. And that's what the Lord brought to me. As soon as I asked you the question, before I even gave you a chance to respond, I said to you, how about granola, toast, and fruit? How does that sound?
It's fine. I like granola. I like fruit, and I like toast. So I wasn't upset.
Not at all. And I felt like my mission was accomplished. I felt like now I had direction, I had an answer, and that I was pleasing you, and it was not your idea at all. And that's the funny thing.
Especially since you could get that done easily.
That's right.
In 30 minutes.
And less than that, right? So as I was walking back up the stairs to the kitchen, the Lord reminded me, cultivate kindness. I wasn't restrained. I asked you a question, and before I even gave you a chance to answer, I filled it in. I got you to agree with me, and then I did my own thing. And it really struck me. I mean, you know, sometimes these just moments of silence where the Spirit calls to our heart, that gentle, still, small voice. Mm. You weren't restrained. Mm. I wasn't restrained. I wasn't cultivating kindness. I really wasn't thinking about you. So at that moment, as soon as I recognized it, on my way up the stairs, I said, okay, Lord, give me a better idea. And by the time I got to the kitchen, which isn't very far away because we have a small home, I had a whole new menu plan. Mm. homemade pizza, a nice salad, gourmet vegetables, and you couldn't even smell it cooking.
That's right.
In that time that it took me to do that, I found such joy. And this is what I really want to emphasize to our viewers today. When we are willing to be restrained, we find that God gives us joy in doing things maybe we wouldn't have wanted to do or had no desire to do. But when we're willing to be restrained and choose to do a better way, something that would be kind or thoughtful toward our spouse, we find that inner joy. And that's what happened that day. I found the joy of cooking that meal for you. I even set the table nice, had candles, flowers on the table, went and turned the music on. Then I called you. Come to dinner, dear.
Oh, it was wonderful coming to the table. But I think we're going to pause right there, and you're going to find out the surprises that I found when I came to the table that afternoon. Stay with us. Welcome back, where we've been talking about cultivating restraint. Now you're waiting to find out my reaction. When I go upstairs, I've been called to the meal, and I'm thinking that I'm going up to granola, fruit, and toast. And I would have been happy with that, wouldn't I, dear?
Always easy to please.
But what a delight. I didn't just go up to granola, fruit, and toast. When I got to the top of the stairs, I smelled the pizza, I heard the music playing, and I saw the candles on the table. Quite a difference, wasn't it, dear, in my reaction?
Oh, yes, and that wasn't my motivation. My motivation was to do something nice for you.
Well, you were cultivating kindness. You were thinking about yourself there at first, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
Getting
just
things
about
done
me.
Quick. And
that's right. Easy.
Quick and easy. But when I got there and saw what my wife had done for me, just that simple kindness, do you think that had an impact on me? I have to tell you that if it would have been granola, fruit, and toast, the meal would have been over pretty quick, and I would have been back to what I needed to do. But with the candles on the table, and with the nice music playing, and with the delightful meal that you provided, and that romantic atmosphere, we lingered at the table. And when the meal was over, we enjoyed some real nice communication time together.
It was very nice. And it's so neat to see how God can change something so small into something so grand.
That's right. And I just want to encourage you, it's not the big things. You don't have to plan some great event to show some kindness to your wife or to your husband. It's the simple things. You can take a simple activity of the day, and just by being thoughtful, as Elaine was to me in that situation, you can be cultivating kindness, which is really a restraint of the natural selfish nature.
So let's talk about the second area that we challenged in developing respect, also now how it affects and how we bring it into cultivating restraint.
That's right.
Be determined.
That's a big word.
All-inclusive. Be determined never to injure your spouse, the other person, by your words, your actions, your expression, your countenance, your reaction. Be determined.
I remember the day that we got a phone call from a couple that was really in a crisis. And as they were sharing with us, really the only time that they could talk to us and they really had a need was during our special family time. And as you know, we could be on the phone all the time in the work that we do in this ministry. And so we guard that family time especially. And so they said, well, could we just have a little bit of that family time? You remember that situation?
Oh, yes.
And so we talked about it, and we talked about the need that they had, and we agreed that we would, you know, get back with them. They could call us in the evening during our family time. We also agreed that we would try to keep it short. You remember that?
Yes.
And so we could go back to what we had planned for that evening. Well, that phone call came in, and it was beautiful because we worked together, Elaine and I, we love to work together in this ministry and with our family. It's a family ministry, and it's been a blessing to be able to share not just my perspective, but your perspective in these difficult circumstances. And so we shared with this couple. We were able to give them some principles and some practical application. And I thought, we're done. That's it. We've accomplished it. And I was ready to get off the phone. And you can remember, you know, I was kind of closing it out. And
did a good job at closing it down, dear.
You weren't quite ready yet, though, right?
Well, I thought of something else I wanted to say that we hadn't talked about, but after I heard their conversation, I thought, you know, well, this would probably be encouraging and give some direction. So I wanted to keep sharing a little longer.
That's right. Well, I just gracefully bowed out of the conversation, and my dear wife continued on. And now you have to remember, I'm down at my desk downstairs in our bedroom. She's upstairs at our little ministry office upstairs out of the living room. So as you were continuing talking, I was making my way to come up to where you were. And here's what I was thinking about doing. I was just going to give a simple signal. I was going to go up the stairs, get to the top of the stairs, and when I got my wife's attention, you know how you do that. Just look at her, and when I got her attention, I was just going to give her the signal. Remember that, dear?
Yes. Oh, yes, I remember.
You've
used that a few times, haven't you?
So I came to the top of the stairs. We had made this agreement. I came to the top of the stairs, and I got your attention. But before I got there, a lot of things happen on our stairs, don't they?
Yes. That moment is a good time.
It's a good place. And from the bottom of the stairs to the top of the stairs, the Lord had called to my heart, one of those simple promptings to my heart, no audible voice. The Lord was calling to me that I could have restraint. I didn't have to give the cut sign. Here's the thought the Lord put in my heart. When you get to the top of the stairs, when you get your wife's attention, just smile. Just smile. So between the bottom of the stairs and the top of the stairs, I had surrendered to the Lord, and I had allowed him to change my heart, change my agenda. And what happened when I caught your attention at the top of the stairs?
Well, I sensed you looking at me, so I turned around, because obviously my back's to the stairs, the top of the stairs where you come up. And as I turned around and looked at you, I was really expecting to get this. So I was a little hesitant, wanted to turn around right away.
You knew I was looking at you, though.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were looking at me. So when I turned around and I saw you smiling, it just totally melted my heart, because I knew it was from within. It wasn't one of these
Pasted on.
I've seen those smiles. Okay, we're going to do it. You know, I'm going to be happy about it. You know, it wasn't one of those. It was so genuine. It was just like, you're free to talk as long as you want to talk. And I knew that you were thinking about me. You didn't want to hurt me. You didn't want to hurt my feelings, or even potentially, that wouldn't have hurt my feelings if you said cut, because I knew that the most of the things had been covered and we could talk later another time. But you were determined not to even risk the potential of a misunderstanding. And that's what God wanted to do in your heart, and that's what he wanted to do for us, because he wants us to develop that restraint, to cultivate that restraint, and
that's
be
right.
determined not to injure the other person. And so I have to tell you, I was so motivated to get off the telephone, because I wanted to spend more time with you, because it's like a magnet drawn to each other is what it does. It's like that glue, that adhesive, you know.
That's
let
right.
no man separate that glue, that we want to be together. We want to be with each other in each other's presence, because it's peaceful, it's happy, it's joyful.
Yes. And that's what we want each of you to experience. It's not as though, okay, we understand all this and we do it right all the time, but in our marriage, which really has become a marriage heart to heart, we have come to understand these things, and they're practical, they're real in our lives. And the thing that's so beautiful about this is that if we're willing to do this, if we're willing to really have respect and to cultivate restraint, it really reflects back on us. The kindness that we share to one another reflects back on us. And I think what we want to do now is bring a personal challenge to you folks, because we want you to experience this kind of respect, this kind of restraint in your marriage. Honey, do you want to lead them into the personal challenge?
The next time you find yourself in the me focus, where the me wants to be expressed, be willing to be restrained of God and look for a way to change the focus and cultivate a kindness towards your spouse and see the difference, not just in your relationship, but even in your own heart.
That's right. And if we move out of the me focus into the us focus, which we've talked about before, then it will prepare us for the second area, and that is that we are determined not to injure the other person in our words, in our thoughts, because our thoughts lead to actions and reactions, even in our countenance, that we will not injure the other person. The only way that's going to happen is as we give ourselves to God and allow Him to work in us. So I think it'd be great if we prayed right now. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you. You have the solution, the grace, the power. We need your godly restraint in our marriages. And I pray, Father, that we will so cooperate with you that you can change us into the people that we need to be. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking about establishing our roles in marriage next time we get together. We want you to have a marriage heart to heart. Join us.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.